Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, June 11th, 2025, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we are constantly amazed at your grace and your faithfulness to each one of us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have blessed us with one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. This is by Tom Gilbreth, a message from God through David for the 21st century church. Both as shepherd and as king, David was a man of music. As a young lad, he sang to soothe King Saul's troubled soul. Well, Saul was in reversionism. He was psychotic. And through the music, there was great soul refreshment for Saul, King Saul. Now, when I saw that, we are in a section in 2 Corinthians 7 that deals with encouragement and refreshment. So I go, well, divinely inspired. This is what God wants me to read here. See? So he's saying to soothe King Saul's troubled soul, soul refreshment. Music flowed from deep within his being. Some of the greatest words in the greatest book ever written come from inspired songs from David. In 1 Chronicles 16, verses 7 to 36, he delivered a song of praise and joy and worship to be sung in the nation Israel. It was a great day in Israel. Bands played, people danced. They seemed to sense God's smile upon them. It was the day David finally succeeded in bringing the Ark of the Covenant to Israel's new capital city of Jerusalem. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 7 says, on that day, David, first delivered this psalm, this song, into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord. Among other things, the song encourages evangelism. And I saw that. And that's another reason this is the right thing to read right now, because starting Monday, Vacation Bible School, Upland Bible Church Vacation Bible School. And I greatly appreciate all of your prayers that God would draw by his hand of grace all of those children and all of those parents who are supposed to be here and prepare their hearts. And I encourage that you might pray for the entire VBS team, that they would be channels of God's grace, tools in God's hands, that the grace gospel would be given clearly and accurately, and that basic doctrine would be taught clearly and accurately. Pray that there might be many sons brought into glory and edification of believers. That starts Monday. So among other things, the song encourages evangelism. Verses 8 and 9 say, make known his deeds among the peoples. Talk of all his wondrous works. Verse 23 says, proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Verse 13 addresses the children of Israel like this. O seed of Israel, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. This is another scriptural reminder that God chose the people of Israel for special purposes, to put forth his written word into the world, and through whom to give us Jesus, God the Son, the Messiah, the Redeemer, and the only Savior. Like so many passages in the Bible, verses 15 to 18 remind us of the irrevocable nature of God's choice of Israel and of his promises to Israel. Remember his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance. The Jews, remaining a distinct people for thousands of years, despite seemingly insurmountable obstacles, stands as a miracle of stunning proportions. Why didn't they just dissolve into the cultures of the nations to which they were dispersed? That's what happened to other nations pushed out of their homelands. But God miraculously kept the Jews distinct. And then, 77 years ago, they were reborn as a nation in the land that God gave them. These facts of history confirm the reliability of God and the Bible. Yet much of the church turns a blind eye. It doesn't want to talk about things that they consider politically controversial. As a people, they have returned to the land, but not yet returned to the Lord who gave it to them. And that's the way God said it would happen. The order is presented in Ezekiel 36, 24 and 25. First, they return to the land, and then he cleanses them. The fact of Israel is breathtakingly clear. We should look at that miracle and say, see, God is alive. God is still in control. And he fulfills his promises, including the promise to receive all who come to him. This is one of God's great gifts to those who want to, and then quoting 1 Peter 3:15, who want to always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. The song in 1 Chronicles 16 combines God's faithfulness to fulfill his promises with worship and a call to evangelism. And verse 20 reminds us he is coming to judge the earth. Verses 24 and 25 say, declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. And verse 36 concludes the song, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Will you get some Jack Daniels for this gal over here? How about a bottle of water? Bottle of water? No, she wants Jack Daniels. Tequila, vodka. You see, Satan sent a little demon over there just tickling your throat and tickling your throat and tickling your throat. Kind of like Debbie was teaching. And one of the kids, while she was teaching, would get the hiccups. Hiccup, 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 hiccup. Debbie walked over to him, and she goes, now you hiccup one more time! That kid couldn't hiccup. He couldn't talk, but he did. He shit his pants, but the hiccups were over. A couple of you jumped when I did that. If you have to go wipe, I mean. God does have a sense of humor. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians 7, starting at verse 9, the corrected translation. As things now stand, I keep on having happiness. I am not happy that you were caused to have soul pain and sorrow, but I am happy that your soul pain and sorrow resulted in your repentance. For you were caused to have soul pain and sorrow according to the will of God, for the purpose that in no way did you suffer loss or injury or harm because of us, Paul and his team. Verse 10, for the soul pain that is according to the will of God produces true repentance without regret that results in deliverance from the sin unto death. But the sorrow of Satan's cosmic system, false repentance, produces death, results in maximum divine discipline, the sin unto death. Verse 11, for behold what this very thing, this according to the will of God, soul pain and sorrow has produced in you. First of all, what diligence? Secondly, even what defense? Vindication of yourself. Third, even indignation toward your bad decisions to live in the cosmic system. Four, even fear, humility, respect for God and His Word and the communicator of the Word. Five, even an intense longing and desire for Bible doctrine. Six, even tremendous zeal to live the spiritual life. Seven, even avenging of wrong. In everything, you have demonstrated yourself to be blameless in the matter. As a result of their true repentance, as a result of their rebound, they recognized they were wrong, 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 wrong. They acknowledged their sins to God, got back into fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, the spiritual life, and then reversion recovery. They have demonstrated themselves now to be blameless in the matter. They don't hate the Apostle Paul any longer. Now they have maximum respect for the Apostle Paul as a communicator of the Word of God. Now they have an intense desire to get a maximum amount of the Word of God in their hearts. Now they know that Paul is teaching exactly what they need to hear, the grace and the truth of the God-breathed Scriptures. And they are eagerly looking forward to Paul coming back and teaching them these magnificent doctrines of the Word of God. So that's 2 Corinthians 7, 9 through 11. Now, verse 12. Wherefore, we always start with the King James, and it's kind of, there's some real funny translations here. Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, we have the inferential particle ara, and the conditional particle ae with the conjunction chi, plus the aorist active indicative of grapho, plus the dative plural of the personal pronoun su. The inferential particle ara looks like that. A-R-A, ara. And ara can mean so or then or consequently, or you see, we're going to translate it so. And when you combine ara with the conditional particle a and the conjunction chi, so we have ara, let's put it this way, ara, then we have a, and then we have the conjunction chi. So we have the three together. A-R-A, ara, E-I-A, particle A, conditional particle, and then K-A-I, conjunction. When you have these three together, then it is correctly translated, so even though, or so although. That's how it's, you translate this phrase. So we're going to translate so although. So although, and then the verb grapho. I'm sure most of you soon, you know what this is. Grapho. Grapho is the verb to write down, to record, to write to someone. And the dative plural of the personal pronoun su is to you, that is, you believers living in Corinth. So although I wrote to you, corrected translation, so although I wrote to you, this is 1 Corinthians, writing of 1 Corinthians, I did it not for his cause that had done the wrong. This is the objective negative ouk, plus the improper preposition enika, plus the articular aorist passive participle of adikao. And I want you to know you're going to hear enika three times in this passage, adikao three times in this passage, so it'll be repeated. So ouk plus enika, which is an improper preposition, plus the verb adikao. The objective negative ook slams the door. Paul did not write 1 Corinthians because of the one doing the wrong, the offender. And then the improper preposition enika. Looks like that, E-N-E-K-A. Enika. And it means because of, on account of, for the sake of, and we'll translate it, because of. And then we have our verb adikeo. A-D-I-K-E long O, adikeo. And adikeo as an intransitive verb, you understand verbs can be transitive or intransitive. Intransitive, there's no direct object. Transitive verb, it does have a direct object. You learned that in English, all of you, right? Okay. As an intransitive verb, adikeo means wrongdoing. As a transitive verb, which is how it's used in our verse, it means to do wrong to someone, to treat someone unjustly. And the articular participle, we've had this so many times, it's what? Right, substantival. What does that mean? It functions as a noun. So it has to be translated like a noun. And when you translate adikeo like a noun, it's the one doing the wrong. The one doing the wrong or the offender. So, corrected translation. So although I wrote to you, 1 Corinthians, I didn't write it because of the one doing the wrong. And then it goes on, the King James, nor for his cause that suffered wrong. Now we have the repetition. We have the negative conjunction ude, then the improper preposition anika repeated, plus the verb adikeo repeated. When you have the conjunction ude, O-U-D-E, ude. Ude means and not or nor, and it joins negative clauses to others of the same kind. The improper preposition anika, once again repeated, means because of. The articular participle of adikeo, once again, is substantival. Once again, it functions as a noun. And it's correctly translated, the one having been wronged, or the one offended. So, corrected translation. So although I wrote to you, 1 Corinthians, it was not because of the one doing the wrong, nor because of the one having been wronged. So although I wrote to you, 1 Corinthians, it was not because of the one doing the wrong, nor because of the one having been wronged, but that our, I had to read this in the King James several times to figure out what it said too, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. Okay. This is the conjunction Allah plus the improper preposition anika plus the improper preposition enopion. We have two improper prepositions. You'd think we'd get one proper one in there. No. Improper preposition enopion. Just seeing if you are listening at all. At times I feel like I'm talking to myself, but. With the genitive singular of theos, with the definite article, plus the genitive articular infinitive of phanerao, plus the accusative singular of spude, with the definite article, plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun su, plus the accusative singular of the definite article, with the preposition huper, and the genitive plural of ego, personal pronoun ego, plus pros, and the accusative plural of the personal pronoun su. Start out with the conjunction Allah. Now, we already seen this used in a very special way in verse 11. I learned something new about Allah. Strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek, but in our verse 11, Allah is an ascensive Allah. It's used with an ascensive meaning, and it's translated even. And it's used that way even through verse 11. But now we're back to use as a conjunction of contrast in the Greek. And it's translated, but, and it sets up a contrast between, first of all, why Paul did not write 1 Corinthians, contrasted with why he did write 1 Corinthians. So it sets up a contrast between why Paul did not write 1 Corinthians with why he did write 1 Corinthians. Secondly, sets up a contrast between not taking sides in the Corinthians' controversies with making them aware of their need to repent. Rebound, reversion, recovery, living the spiritual life, which they did. So secondly, it set up a contrast between not taking sides in the Corinthians' controversies with making them aware of the fact they needed to repent. They needed to rebound, they needed reversion, recovery, and live the spiritual life, and they did that. And then we have Enochan to Phanerothenai. And Enochan plus the genitive articular infinitive introduces the purpose clause. So, and it's correctly translated here, in order that. So when you have Enochan with a genitive articular infinitive, it introduces a purpose clause and translated for the purpose that or in order that. And then the verb phanerao. P-H-A-N-E-R-O, long O, phanerao. All right, a couple of things on this verb. First of all, phanerao can mean to reveal. To reveal, to make known, to show. Secondly, point two, in the passive voice, and that's what we have here is the passive voice, it means to become visible, to become known, to be made known, to be revealed. Three, and then we have, you just got to see, this is the kind of thing that really gets me cranked up when I'm studying. I see this, and this is the kind of stuff that the Apostle Paul uses. It's, Paul was an absolute genius, maybe the greatest genius ever in human race. And he puts down some things that are just absolutely phenomenal. Great, great Greek. And I'll put this up here, and you'll probably just want to become holy rollers on this. Tain, spoudain, hold on. No rolling on the floor. Tain, yet. Tain, spoudain. And then we have, don't have enough room. Then we have, but these follow, these rather words follow this. And then tain, hooper, hamon, all right, now this, when you see that definite article in front of this prepositional phrase, that makes that prepositional phrase an adjective that modifies the noun spude. Hold on. Well, it did a lot for me. I guess it didn't do much for you. So, this point three, in order that your tain spoudain, tain hooper hamon, here's the adjective here, down here. This modifies the noun up here. And so, point four, literally, this is translated your behalf of us zeal. But that's an idiom. That means your zeal on our behalf. Your zeal on our behalf. And then, five, this is correctly translated, but in order that your zeal on our behalf might be made known. Might be made known. And then we have pros plus the accusative plural, the personal pronoun, su, to you. Then we have the improper preposition enopion with the genitive singular of theos before God or in the sight of God. So the corrected translation, so although I wrote to you, 1 Corinthians, it was not because of the one doing the wrong, nor because of the one having been wronged, but in order that your zeal on our behalf might be made known to you in the sight of God. Get that? Good. So although I wrote 1 Corinthians to you, it was not because of the one doing the wrong, nor because of the one having been wronged, but in order that your zeal on our behalf might be made known to you in the sight of God. All right, one. Paul did not write 1 Corinthians to take sides in the Corinthian controversies. There was all kinds of battles going on between believers in Corinth. Paul did not write 1 Corinthians to take sides in the Corinthian controversies. And sad to say, but this still goes on among believers today. Fighting and arguing and accusing each other this and that and the other thing. And it's all wrong. Whenever that goes on, you're both wrong. You're both 100% wrong. And somewhere down the line, the thing that Paul found out when he sent Titus. He sent Titus was Paul's troubleshooter. And he sent Titus up to Corinth because Paul was concerned that there wasn't even a ministry there anymore. And he sent Titus up to find out if there still was a ministry in Corinth. And when Titus was concerned about going up there. But they had come to their senses. They came to their senses. They rebounded. They knew they were wrong. They knew Paul was right. They came to their senses. They rebounded. They got back into fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit and the spiritual life. And now they're listening and growing up. Now they have humility. Now they respect the authority of God, the authority of the Word of God, the authority of the communicator of the Word of God. Now they're growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Now they're beginning to develop virtue love. And with that, hey, all of this arguing and fighting with each other and accusing this one of wrong and that one, that's gone. That's gone. They've turned around spiritually. So, again, point one, Paul did not write 1 Corinthians to take sides in the Corinthian controversies. Two, Paul wrote so that they might become aware of their need to repent. They had to repent. They had to rebound. They had to get back into fellowship with God and for reversion recovery. And they needed to start living the spiritual life by the grace and power of God. So Paul wrote so that they might come to their senses and become aware of their need to repent, to rebound, reversion recovery, and start living the spiritual life. Three, Paul's objective in writing 1 Corinthians was to encourage them to live the spiritual life by the grace and power of God. They weren't doing that. They were living by the power of the old sin nature and its lust patterns, living in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance, interlocking systems of hatred. But they were not living the spiritual life by the grace and the power of God. So Paul's objective was to encourage them to live the spiritual life by the grace and by the power of God. For the Corinthians responded to Paul's teaching. Paul wasn't sure. He wasn't sure, but the Corinthians responded to Paul's teaching. 5, they knew that they were wrong, and they knew that Paul was right. Six, now, after that, what is repentance? Metanoeo, a change of your thinking. Now, they have changed their mental attitude. They've changed their thinking. And now they have the greatest respect and love for the Apostle Paul. Now they have the greatest respect and love for the Apostle Paul. And we're almost there. I mean, we get down to verse 13. Oh, we'll give you previews of coming attraction. On account of this, on account of verses 11 and 12 that just taught, on account of this, verses 11 and 12, we have been encouraged. And in addition to our encouragement, we rejoiced even much more for the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. Wow. When Titus came back, he said, you aren't going to believe it, Paul. They turned around. They listened. They came to their senses. They repented. They know you were right. They know that they were wrong. They're moving out. And you know what? I was refreshed being with those Corinthian believers. When Paul heard that, he goes, wahoo! Titus is refreshed. I'm encouraged. This is fantastic. So now, point 6, they have the greatest respect and love for the Apostle Paul. 7, Paul's primary motive in writing the letter was for the interest and benefit of the believers in Corinth. Paul's primary motive in writing the 1 Corinthians was for the interest and benefit of these believers. 8. Foremost in Paul's mind was their spiritual well-being. Foremost in Paul's mind was their spiritual well-being. Nine, Paul realized this was directly related to their repentance, verses 11 and 12. And change of mental attitude. Now they're responding to Paul's teaching, and they are respecting him as a spiritual authority and communicator of the word of God, and respecting him as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, verses 11 and 12, for behold what this very thing, this according to the will of God, soul pain and sorrow, has produced in you. First of all, what diligence. Secondly, even what defense, vindication of yourself. Third, even indignation toward your bad decisions to live out of fellowship with God in the cosmic system. Fourth, even fear, humility, respect for God, His Word, and the communicator of the Word. 5, even an intense longing and desire for the Bible doctrine. 6, even tremendous zeal to live the spiritual life. 7, even avenging of wrong. In everything, you have demonstrated yourselves to be blameless in the matter. So although I wrote 1 Corinthians to you, it was not because of the one doing the wrong, nor because of the one having been wronged, but in order that your zeal on our behalf might be made known to you in the sight of God. Now in verses 13 to 16, the Corinthians' positive response to Paul and his teaching has been a great encouragement to the Apostle Paul. Verse 13, therefore, we were comforted. And this is the preposition dia plus the accusative singular of the demonstrative pronoun houtos plus the perfect passive indicative of parakaleo. We start out with a prepositional phrase. Dia plus the accusative means, this is D-I-A, dia plus the accusative means because of or on account of. And then we have the demonstrative pronoun houtos, because of houtos. H-O-U-T-O-S, houtos. And houtos is this. Houtos is the near demonstrative pronoun. And this is correctly translated, because of this. Because of this. What's because of this? 2 Corinthians 7, verses 11 and 12. That's this. Because of this, 2 Corinthians 7, 11 and 12, on account of this, for this reason, I am parakaleoed. Paul is parakaleoed. P-A-R-A-K-A-L-E, long O, parakaleo. All right, a couple of things on parakaleo. First of all, parakaleo is a compound word made up of para, that's a preposition, para, which means from the side of, and kaleo, which means to call. So here's from the side of. And kaleo, which means to call. So point two, literally, parakaleo means to call to one side or to summon. That's literally. Literally, parakaleo means to call to one side or to summon. Three, then it also means to appeal to urge, sometimes to exhort. To appeal to urge, to exhort. And then four, it came to mean to comfort, to encourage, to cheer up. To comfort, to encourage, to cheer up. Five, in the passive voice, which is what we have, it means to be comforted, to be encouraged, to receive comfort, to receive encouragement, either through words or a favorable change in the situation. And the change in the situation is very favorable. From reversionism, they were, many of them, dying the sin unto death in Corinth. They set the world record on types of reversionism and living in reversionism. But that has been changed. Now they're living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. So on account of this, the true repentance of verses 11 and 12, repentance according to the will of God. On account of this, verse 11 and 12, we have been encouraged. This is the completion of the sentence, by the way, in the Greek. The sentence stops here. Now the rest of what is in the King James Version is actually a new sentence in the Greek. So in the King James you have in your comfort as a part of this sentence, but it's not. We start a new sentence, and we not only don't have your, we have our. We do not have the personal pronoun sue, that's you, in the genitive plural, your. We don't have that. We have the personal pronoun ego, And the genitive plural is hamon, and we have our. The word here is our, not your, our. So if I was grading, whoever translated this flunked. And when Derek and Dave, for years, we did homeschooling right here. We were living in the church. We lived right back here in a little room, lived here in the church, and we did homeschooling. And I taught math, Deb taught English, and when I gave a test, if they missed one in the test, they flunked. They missed one, they flunked. Because grade doesn't mean anything. I want you to learn. You need to learn the principle. Learn about it. When you learn it, and I don't want you to guess. No guessing. No guessing. You think through the process and put the answer. If you miss one, you flunk, and I'll make a new test. Give them another one. If they miss one, they flunk again, until they get 100%. Get 100% the path. Well, this went on all the way through homeschooling. Then they went to public schools, and they were in their class, and they had a test, and they came home, and they go, "Oh, Dad, the teacher really made a mistake. I missed one on the test and I got an A." I said, "That is a lousy teacher. Should have flunked you right there." I said, "Well," I said, teachers are going to do that. More important that I want you to learn. Learn the process and learn why you were wrong and how to do it right. I didn't care about a grade. It's learning the material. That's what's important. So that's the way it was when I taught. If you miss one, you flunked. So they kind of got, "Hey, this going to school is pretty good. I can miss one and get an A." Then they come back. No, they didn't do that, because then I'd have had to get out the ping pong paddle, you know. So we have the post-positive conjunction de with the preposition epi plus the dative singular paraklesis. Notice that's the noun. We just had parakaleo, right? We just had parakaleo, to encourage, to cheer up. Now we have the noun that comes from parakaleo, paraklesis, with a definite article, plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego. The post-positive conjunction de is a transitional de, and it should be translated and. And then the preposition epi with the dative literally means on, in, or above. But Arnton Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 286, says figuratively this means in addition to. And then we have the cognate noun from the verb parakaleo, paraklesis. Paraklesis, paraklesis, paraklesis. And paraklesis means encouragement, comfort. With the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego, our encouragement, our, not your encouragement, our encouragement. On account of this, the repentance verses 11 and 12, and your true repentance. We have been encouraged. And in addition to our encouragement, in addition to our encouragement, then we have, listen to this, yay! And exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus. There you go. This is the aorist passive indicative of Cairo plus the adverb perisoteros with the comparative adverb malon, the preposition phrase epi plus the dative singular of kara and the definite article with the proper noun titos, the verb Cairo. C-H-A-I-R, long O, Cairo. And Cairo means to rejoice, to be happy, to be glad. We rejoiced. Paul and his entire team, Paul and Titus and Timothy, we rejoiced. And they rejoiced perisoteros malon. That's real rejoicing there. Perisoteros, P-E-R-I-S-S-O-T-E-R, long O-S, and with it Malone, M-A-L-L-O-N, Malone. That's an N, but I got kind of fancy. Malone. Perisoteros is an adverb that means more, to a much greater degree, far more, far greater. That's perisoteros. Malon is also an adverb that means more or to a greater degree. When you put the two together, perisoteros and malon, which is what we have in our verse, then it is strengthened and means still more, even much more. And then epite kara titu, for the joy of Titus, for the happiness of Titus. So corrected translation, on account of this, the true repentance of verses 11 and 12, your change of mental attitude, we have been encouraged, and in addition to our encouragement, we rejoiced even much more for the happiness of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. This is the conjunction ha ti plus the nominative singular of pneuma with a definite article plus the genitive singular of autos plus the perfect passive indicative of anapao plus the prepositional phrase apa plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun su with the plural adjective pas. Ha ti, causal conjunction, correctly translated, because ta pneuma autu. Now, that's a definite article, ta pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A. And, of course, sometimes this is used for the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, but not here. Because it's his, A-U-T, genitive singular of autos, his spirit, that is the human spirit of Titus, pastor, teacher, Titus. So his spirit, this is Titus' human spirit. And then, ana pao. A-N-A-P-A-U, long O. Anapao. Now, anapao means, first of all, to give someone rest, to cause to rest. And then it came to mean to revive or to refresh. And in the passive voice, which is what we have, it means has been refreshed. Titus, human spirit, has been refreshed. And then the preposition apa plus the genitive plural pas and su, by you all, by all of you. So the corrected translation, on account of this, true repentance, verses 11 and 12, you've come to your senses, you've repented, you're rebounded, you're in reversion, recovery, you're living the spiritual life. On account of this, verses 11 and 12, we have been encouraged, and in addition to our encouragement, we rejoiced even much more for the happiness of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. When Titus came back and gave the report, I mean, they had a party. Great time. Well, I read that article because we would be talking about refreshment. We got it in right at the end. See? Refreshment. But we got a lot more to find out about that. But it's a great, this meant Paul didn't think he even had a ministry still in Corinth. When Titus came back, he says, you not only have a ministry, they love you, Paul. They know you were right. They know they were wrong. They have repented. They're back in fellowship. They're living the spiritual life, and they can't wait for you to come back up, Paul. They love you. They know you're the spiritual authority communicating the Word of God, and they are with you. And when Paul heard that, that made his day. On account of this, the true repentance of the Corinthians, verses 11 and 12, we have been encouraged. And in addition to our encouragement, we rejoiced even much more for the happiness of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. All right. We'll pick it up here next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.